For these vendors, BMS greatly reduces the time, energy, and cost it takes to service the sites. Industry-wide numbers are usually not released until sometime halfway through the following year, as most businesses operate in a calendar year, not a federal fiscal year like NCBVI. So while numbers may be a little off, our federal fiscal year numbers show that we are on trend with industry sales recoveries post-pandemic. Industry-wide, sales took a major hit in 2020, dropping to $13.3 billion in sales from $24.2 billion in 2019, which was then an industry-wide high. Sales rebounded in 2021, but just to $19.4 billion. Upward trends continued in 2022, with $21.7 billion in total revenue, but still shy of the industry high mark set in 2019. In 2023, industry-wide revenue surpassed 2019 for the first time since the pandemic, with $26.04 billion in total revenue. NBE total revenue for vendors in 2019 was $1.07 million. Taking the not unsurprising hit of the pandemic in 2020, revenue was just shy of $900,000. Sales rose again in 2021 to just shy of $1 million, but still less than 2019 numbers. 2022 saw NBE beat industry-wide recovery by 1 year, with gross revenue of $1.1 million. Total sales in 2023 were $1.3 million. NBE is looking forward to the release of industry-wide numbers in 2024 to see how our program measured up to these industry as a whole. And just to note, those sales totals were only account for the vending machines, not the sales at Deterrence Diner. Taken as a whole, NBE size based on revenue places us in the medium-sized category of operations. Medium-sized operation grows between $1 million and $4.9 million in sales annually. This category makes up 26% of all operations in the country, generating a total of about $5 billion in sales, or 19.2% of industry totals. Interestingly, extra-large operations are those generating over $10 million in sales, and those make up just 8% of operations, but across the country, those 8% of businesses generate 49% of the total industry sales. NBE does try each year to put together a report comparing NBE's program industry-wide trends and numbers. While nothing official, we do use this as a guide to judge our program's progress, keeping up with industry trends, and as a guide in making program decisions, especially on machine types and placement. While NBE was unable to do this for 2023, it is something we are hoping to accomplish this year, and we would be happy to share that with commissioners when or if it is completed. This report allows us to take a deeper dive into the numbers and look at individual item type sales and other valuable information. This past year, NBE also began using a standalone component of NCBVI's client management software, Aware, that is made specifically for BEPs. This software allows us to track and manage many of the aspects of the NBE program that were previously tracked on multiple different complex spreadsheets. The NBE team member, Lizzie Heidenreich, has taken ownership of this transition process. NBE is looking forward to utilizing this tool to increase our efficiency in the day-to-day operations of the NBE program. In conclusion, NBE is in a good place. We are working hard on improving the things we can control and dealing with and surviving the things that we cannot. NBE is excited and hopeful about 2025. Currently, we only have one major project slated for this year, a new USCIS facility in Lincoln that will combine the two existing facilities already served by an NBE vendor. NBE has now been fully staffed for just over 1 year, and we are hoping that with fewer large projects slated for the year, that we can focus on honing some of the small details and putting systems into place that not only enhance the program for existing vendors, but make expanding and running the program in the future easier to manage. NBE does have three vendors here that are going to speak briefly about their experience, and then I will be happy to answer any questions.
Hello. Can you? I think it's on. Yep.
It's on.
All right. My name's Jeremy Ritchie. I service machines here in Lincoln. I approximately have probably about 50 machines, plus I do the third-party subcontracting. I do have a contractor that works for me. One of the big things I use, and Eric asked me to talk about, is I use Seed Cashless Mobile. It is one of the Cantaloupe softwares that where we can gather information before we go out to the machine. So before I started using it, my contractor, as he said earlier, he would take about an hour and a half to drive to all the locations, see what we needed, come back, pre-kit it, then take it back out and deliver it and restock the machines. After I started using that, I cut that time in minimally half, maybe even a little bit more. So I went down from paying her for 40 hours, 35 to 40 hours a week, every 2 weeks, down to about 21 to 25 hours. So it saved me a lot of time and money there. The other thing it saved money on is before I did have, most of my locations had on-site storage, but those locations having on-site storage meant I had to be able to meet the minimum requirements for delivery to those locations by Pepsi, Coke, and Vistar. I would not be able to do that. So I narrowed down my storage rooms to just two places. So we're able to pre-kit everything from those two locations. I have less waste because of just having two storage units to provide to all those locations instead of having four, I believe it was. So I don't have to buy as much product for every location as I can just for two. I can buy the same amount of product and keep track of dates and everything easier, less waste. The mobile app is accessible, so is the website, but it's very cumbersome, but you can make it work. It just takes a little time. For instance, on the mobile app, bless you.
Thank you.
On the mobile app, as a blind individual using it, it probably takes me about twice the time as my contract worker because it is very visual and it jumps around a lot and some of the things are not labeled correctly. But over time you get faster at it, but it's just faster for somebody with sight because they can see exactly where they need to touch without the screen jumping. I still use it quite a bit at my location. Otherwise, I would have to go to some of my machines, check what I need, and go back to the storage room. She uses it. I use it to gather her products from one location and have it pre-kitted before she gets there. She comes in, picks it up, takes off. So, try to think. The Seed Live website, again, is accessible. I don't use it as much. I'm not very techy, so if somebody says it's not accessible, if I can figure it out, it's definitely doable. So it just takes some time. The Seed Live website, you can pull different reports that we've used it for. You can pull alerts for coin jams, bill jams, which can also be a nuisance because it'll say you have a bill jam, you may spend the money to get to that location and find out it was an error and it doesn't have a bill jam. It was just a fluke thing, so I ended up turning those off. But it can be beneficial at other times. You can pull reports to see, again, how much cash versus card is being used at those locations using both the Seed Cashless and the Seed Live. How much product is being sold versus, like, say, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, things like that. So I'm currently trying to eliminate some of my products because too many selections means more waste. Yep. So I had one of my distributors told me one time, that came in. Anybody that comes up to a machine, they have their first three selections in their mind already before they even go get their, say, their soda. If you don't have those three, they leave. But most of the time, it's usually the normal, quote-unquote, popular things, like the Dr. Peppers, Pepsis, Cokes. It's not like the Dr. Pepper, coconut, and stuff like that. It's more the generic stuff. Any questions?
Question from the board?
Do you do surveys?
I ask people. I have not actually done any surveys. But I talk to people all the time. And I have requests. And I recently had a person request a diet root beer instead. I told him I could give it a try. I'm always open for suggestions, but I just am blunt and tell them, you know, I'm always open for suggestions. I can try it out, but I have to have enough cells to justify that. For instance, I had somebody at the VA one time requested Cherry Zero Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. For a long time, it was going okay, but then she must have quit or decided she didn't like it no more. So I started throwing away cases because I was buying it for one person. Yep. So, you know, it disappears. So sometimes just for one person, it can be a good thing. Other times for one person, it can bite you in the backside.
Yep.
So you just got to weigh those pros and cons. But no, I have not done a survey.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Ritchie.
Yep.
Hey everybody, I'm Ronnie Kellogg. I have been a licensed vendor since late 2017. Some of the places I worked at, I used to work at the CCC, the Community Correction Center. I worked at, I did vending for the Federal Emergency Management Agency when those floods happened, and had like four machines there. I have been working at Whitehall for quite a long time. I think that's the Department of Health and Human Services location, where they deal with at-risk youth and other things. Recently, I have been working at a micro market too. Besides that, I have like a bunch of subcontracted machines at the in the prison systems here in Lincoln. The micro market is interesting in the sense that I've never really had to use software to manage anything before. Most of the time when you do a vending machine, you can just put whatever you want in the vending machine and it's already there and people can just grab it, pay for it. You don't have to really do anything. With the micro market, you have to use the software that is part of the site that Cantaloupe has. And you have to go in and put in all sorts of information, like how much you want the price to be. And since everyone's using barcodes, you have to scan those. You have to make sure you know what those are and then put those in there. Which can be interesting, because barcodes are like everywhere. And the most important thing to remember is that the customer is scanning the package in the box, not the box. And so, you know, make sure you scan the barcode on the package. Dealing with accessibility issues. In the case of the software necessary to make sure you have your product where you want it to be, and getting all your reports and stuff, you better be a pretty advanced user of NVDA, especially the non-visual desktop access. JAWS is a little bit easier, but you still have to be relatively good at the program. Some of the time, you find things that are not labeled. you find situations where the screen reader will say things are not available when they actually are available. especially when you're trying to choose your store, when you're trying to get product in there or whatever. So the micro market's a little interesting in that respect. Let me think. I think those are the main differences, really. I mean, Eric pretty much covered all the other differences. keeping track of the periodic automatic restocking levels is very important. He mentioned that in the vending machines, but making sure you know approximately what you keep and keeping track of what the software is telling you is there, because it keeps track of what you sell. Making sure that you know approximately how much you put in there, how much you sold, and counting how much you have when you go there is pretty important for making sure that you're not being stolen from. And if you are, as Eric said, you can, you know, have someone at the state licensing agency come check out the camera. But yeah, those are the main differences. Anyone have any questions?
Questions for Ronnie?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Since you have several machines and obviously several facilities, mm-hmm. if something goes wrong with your customer and they push the wrong button or the whatever happens that causes an issue for them, how do you respond to their issues?
I usually just and see what the issue is. If I can get there myself, which recently happened actually, I had a complaint a little bit ago because the credit card machine at the micro market was not working at all, and I contacted the customer service representatives at the internet service provider we use, OffConnect, that I use for micro market, and they were like, "Oh, everything's cool there." I was like, "Okay," so they couldn't do anything on their end, and then I contacted Cantaloupe to see if they were still having issues with their credit card reader because they had some earlier. So I was just trying to make sure that they were okay. And then when it turned out that nothing was going on, I just went down there, took a taxi down to the Department of Education, and restarted the machine, and it worked. So usually, you know, if something like that happens, I can usually just go and take care of it myself. Most of the time that happens, I'm already there, which is luckily the case. But yeah, sometimes I just gotta go and see what's up.
Thank you.
It's amazing how often technology can be fixed by turning it off.
Exactly.
The old restart.
Restart. Yeah.
Does the barcode contain any information regarding the item, or just numbers?
And from what I can tell, they're just numbers.
Yeah,
it's big numbers.
It would be nice if I had, like, you know, the date of expiration and the ingredients and all that. That way you can just put it into the computer.
The barcode, based on my experience, is specific to the product itself, not each individual package.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I actually just kind of realized while you guys were talking, I'm kind of a blind vendor too, because I manage our market at the hotel I work at. But I know that whenever we scan a product at our front desk from our market, you know, a series of numbers come up, and that's specific to that product so that it knows specifically what price it has. Otherwise, you literally have to scan in every single thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and of course, it's very important as a vendor to make sure that everything has all the nutritional information and ingredients in there anyways, but if you don't do that, that's a problem. You could end up with allergy issues and stuff.
You
don't want the customer to risk.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, any other questions for me?
Thank you, Ronnie.
All right, great to see you.
Where am I going?
Good job, Ron. Go into the light.
I don't want to join my husband. Yet. Sorry. Good morning. I can't tell if anybody hears me in the back, but I'm sure they can.
You can get a little closer, maybe. It's the mic's not.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to spit on it.
Yeah. Yes.
Good morning. I am Sandy Alvarado. I am the current chairperson for our Blind Licensees Committee. Been in that role for several years. Been involved with the NBE for, I think, about 15 years now. So there's been a lot of changes during my time. I have a captive audience for my micro market because I'm at Stratcom headquarters. And along with my micro market there, I have 42 other machines. We are currently doing some due diligence to see if I can get rid of some of those other machines because they are being, as Eric said, underutilized because those machines cannot be used with credit card readers because of the security issues. So everybody loves the micro market. And I should probably have a bed in my storeroom so I could sleep there and be there every day to fill it up. I describe it kind of like this. It's like having one cold food machine, two snack machines, and two beverage machines in a traditional vending format for like 3,000 people. So, yeah, they go through it a lot. I have two assistants or, you know, contract workers. They're not employees. They pay their own taxes. Currently, and I am hiring two more to help with the management of that because I just can't be there all the time. Definitely better than it used to be. I've had my market for a year, and it has just exploded. I'm definitely able to financially take care of myself and my family, which is very important since I just lost my husband about 6 months ago, so, you know, his income isn't there, so, but I'm still able to, you know, maintain the way I like to live. Over the course of time, I just want to give kudos to our SLA, the NBE staff. I'm really glad Eric finally got some help. Awesome with potential outside-the-box thinking when it was pandemic time. They're always supportive, always interactive with concerns from the vendors. Eric and I are constantly conversing about different things that come up, the changes that happen with our program with each administration, whether it be local or national. You know, interpretation of the rules can change. We have come a very long way from when I first started to being much more professional, much better expectations of the blind folks that do become licensed. You know, things have just gotten improved more and more over the course of the time. And Carlos started that way back when I can remember when he came on as the deputy director and took an interest, a real good interest in the VEP program and helped make some significant changes and start moving us the right direction. And I've had, starting out several years ago, I only had like five little sites, not that many. And then it's just, it grew and grew and grew. And then I knew we were working on the Stratcom facility, and I said, I want that when it's available. It was a lot of work for us as the commission. I say us a lot because I think we're a team with the blind vendors and the VEP program. But it was a lot of work to get that contract with Stratcom, not only just for the cafeteria, but for the vending machines in there as well. But I kind of like having one location to go to now, because doing the others was just so time-consuming. That's kind of what I have to say in a nutshell. My experience with a micro market is very much different than Ronnie's. Like I said, I have a captive audience, and they can't use their cell phones in the facility. I can't use my cell phone. I can't take it in at all. Good thing I know Braille. The old-fashioned way of doing stuff is definitely how it is. So, but yeah, they love the micro market there. They've just got the other micro market with the Deterrence Diner started here just recently, so we'll see how that goes, too. I hope it's a success. We offer totally different things. Some things you can't get away from, same product, but maybe different sizes kind of thing is kind of what we're doing with that, too. Hopefully keep everybody happy out there, which, you know, in a building of about 3,400, it's kind of hard to make everybody happy, but we do our best. I am open for any questions you might have or want me to elaborate on anything else.
Questions?
Oh, darn, I guess I only get the 5 minutes, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did anybody have any general questions about NVE that they would like me to attempt to answer?
I just have a comment. I think that it's great that the agency supports the NVE program the way that it does. And over the years, it seems like things have just gotten better. There have been more blind people interested in the vending, becoming a vendor. And I realize not every person wants to become a vendor, not everyone can be. I mean, I think it takes a certain type of character or whatever to be a good vendor, but I'm really pleased to see that the program is moving in a positive direction, that it's growing, and, you know, the micro market concept sounds exciting, and as long as it's accessible for blind people to be able to use it, I think it's great. I think you guys are doing a good job.
Agreed. Yes, Patty.
Okay. How long does it take to go through the training before being certified?
Very good question. So the way the process usually works is that when someone expresses interest in the NVE program, we usually, a member of the NVE staff meets with that individual and their current VR counselor. We go over a lot of details and what's involved with being a vendor. A lot of people, you know, going in initially think that you just, you know, show up with a box of Snickers and a case of Mountain Dew and throw it in the machine and that's all that's involved. After we go over some of those details, if they're still interested, we usually try to get them on site to visit with one of the current vendors, work one-on-one with that vendor on what's involved with stocking the machine, depending on a person's level of vision, how do you make sure that a bag of chips or a candy bar is right side, facing the right way, you don't put it in upside down, how do you tell the difference between a Snickers bar and a Milky Way, and then a member of the NVE staff is usually there, and if the VR counselor does not have experience with vending, we kind of give them a rundown of everything as well and work with that person. If they're still interested after that, I make it sound like we're trying to scare people away, and that's not the case. We just want to make sure if it's available, we usually try to have that person do about a 3-month OJT or on-the-job training with a vendor, where they are there on a regular basis, initially, you know, help with stocking of machines, and then as they progress, get more into understanding how to manage product inventory, those sorts of things. Some states are large enough that they actually hold classes for incoming vendors and do a series of classes. NVE, because of the size of the state population-wise and the fact that most of our locations are concentrated on the east side of the state, we don't usually have those opportunities. And so we do a lot of training. If we have a site available, we usually bring somebody in and have them service the site as a trainee, where we do lots of one-on-one training with that individual until they're ready to become licensed and be on their own.
Is there any required level of education before getting into this program?
So the standard that we usually go by, so under federal law, somebody has to meet the definition of legal blindness according to Social Security. In Nebraska, they have to be over 19 years of age, and they have to be in the country legally. Beyond that, someone has to be able to do enough math to keep track of their own accounting, and to be able to read, write, and communicate effectively, which a general guideline is about be able to do those things about an 8th or 9th grade level.
After receiving the training necessary, then is it difficult to find a placement?
That's a very good question. Right now, we don't have what we would consider any open facilities to place somebody at if they're interested. Sometimes, if we don't have any placements, sometimes the wait for a vendor could be 6 months until there's an open site. Sometimes, it could be a couple years till there's an open site. If a new site becomes available, whether because it's a new site that we're establishing or a vendor chooses to exit the program or to relinquishes some sites because their workload is a little larger than they would like, we put it out for bid to the existing licensed vendors who have an opportunity to tell us why they think that they should be offered a site. We take those into consideration. We look at length of experience. We look for need for additional income. If there's more than one person that puts in a bid for a site, the Committee of Blind Vendors gives their input on who they would like to see take the location. But ultimately, it is the commission's decision who gets the site, and we can opt to put somebody who is a new vendor who's waiting on a site into that site. So it really all depends. Like I said, we had 5 new people come on this year, and we had 10 new sites open up. Some of those vendors had that opportunity because there were sites available. They were a new vendor, and they were in a part of the state where we currently didn't have a vendor. But I can't guarantee, I can never guarantee somebody how long of a wait it's going to be.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about the role of a teaming partner and from how they work with the vendor to when the vendor takes over the facility?
Sure. So usually at large cafeteria, and this usually occurs